This morning, would you bow your heads again in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again now for this moment where we can open up your word together and we can, with freedom and liberty, be able, Father, to read it and study it. And so I pray this morning, Father, that you would pour your spirit into our hearts. Help us, God, to be able to put aside anything that would disrupt the Spirit working in our hearts today, that would take our attention away from what it is that you have brought each and every one of us here to learn. And so, Father, I pray this morning for maybe the lost person who's come into this auditorium and is uncertain by who God is and what Jesus has done for them. And as we talk about this important Old Testament passage with a great lesson that still applies today, I pray that for them, they would hear a message of evangelism. And that the important thing to know is that God is on his throne, and that he loves them, and that he has provided a way for them to have forgiveness of sin and to experience the same things that Elijah experiences in our passage this morning. Father, this morning I pray also for the believer and for the victory that they need to be feeling in their faith, the certainty and the reminder of knowing the power of God. And that even though sometimes they may face dilemmas and obstacles and situations, that they're reminded that you're with them and you've never left them, you've never forsaken them. And I pray for encouragement in their life today. But also, Father, for them to be able to have the kind of faith that you expect each and every one of us to have. Lord, we do set this time aside. You bless the reading of your words. You bless, Father, as we learn about you and more about what you do in the lives of those who choose to follow you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This morning, as you see, if you will, turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 17 in particular. Now, if you don't know where 2 Kings is, it's right after 1 Kings. It also follows Chronicles. Chronicles is afterwards. Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel is before Kings. But it's right in sort of those historical books in the Old Testament. And what we find today is, I think, one of the great stories that sometimes sort of gets lost in the shuffle of all of the great things that God does through the prophet Elijah, and then Elijah, who we talk of today. Now, Elijah is the sort of mentor, if you will, to Elijah. Now, don't get confused by that. They're two different people. There's a J and an SH that sort of separates them. But you don't worry about that. What you focus on this morning is that God is great, and that God in this moment reminds Elijah and his servant, his assistant, of his magnificence. And so what we have here is a king that has decided that he wants to take Elijah captive. And so he sends his armies to surround the city where Elijah and his servant are staying. And as they wake up in the morning, we picture sort of the servant going out the house door and looking into the valley. And this is where we pick up in verse 15, and it says this, "Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. And a servant said to him, 'Alas, master, what should we do?'" Now that was an intimidating sight. Here's this vast army that has come with one purpose, and that was to take Elijah captive. Now there's a backstory to this. He was upset that Elijah was prophesizing and telling the king, his enemy of Israel, all of what God was doing and what the king of Syria, or Aram here, was saying to his soldiers. And so Elijah comes and now is in this city of Dothan, and he is sitting there resting, and his servant goes out and sees this intimidating sight. Then I love verse 16. Listen, this is important. "So he answered," this is Elijah, "'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Now, let that sink in for a moment. No matter what you may be facing, no matter what may be apparent before you, no matter how big it may be, it's not bigger than those that are with you. And as a believer, we take that to heart. We know, listen, as the title of our message this morning says, our God is bigger. Listen, amen. There is nothing that you and I will ever face that is bigger than our God and His power and His strength. And then he goes on in verse 17, and this is sort of the last of this part of the passage that we'll focus on today. And then Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes. That is the servant. This ought to be our prayer this morning, that God opens our eyes that we may, or as he says here, he may see. And then what does the Lord do? As it tells us in the last part of verse 17. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Can you imagine going from that intimidating scene of the foreign army coming to capture you, but then to realize that the army of God is surrounding you? You may not in your life feel that way sometimes. You may be facing obstacles and situations and uncertainties, and you sometimes wonder where God is. And just as we see Elijah praying today, listen, there is something that we need to make sure that we're doing. And there are four things, to be more sort of specific this morning, that I want us to focus on that we need to be doing in order to be able to see and face the obstacles that we face in life today. But listen, too many today have lost sight of the greatness of the God that we serve. And we've lost sight of the power. And when we go to stories like these in the Old Testament and throughout Scripture, they ought to serve as a reminder to us that we serve a great God. And just like with Elijah, He has surrounded us with His power, with His instruments and His tools. Now, before we go into these four things, these truths, if you will, that we need to live by as we face obstacles, and that's the heading for us this morning if you're taking notes. Truths to live by as we face obstacles in our lives. But listen, one thing we need to make sure that we understand is that there is nothing exceptional here about Elijah. God's promise to Elijah is His promise to you. And no matter what you may think you're facing or the difficulties, we must learn to claim these truths. Sometimes we refer to these as the promises of Scripture. And that's a great study, by the way, to go through Scripture systematically and look at all of the absolute promises that God makes that still are held for us today. And this is one of those. We need to be reminded, though, that we need to have the eyes. And really, the struggle today is the ability to trust God in those times of uncertainty. Let's look at these. There are four that we're going to sort of focus on that come directly out of this passage. And as I've said, we're putting these under the heading, truths to live by as we face obstacles in our lives. Number one is this. And we learn this essentially from Elijah. What happens when the servant comes back in and tells him what's out the door? Elijah doesn't bat an eye. He has, listen to this, absolute trust in his Heavenly Father. And that's the first point that we ought to live by, and that is we must have absolute trust. Listen, what we're talking about here is not a trust of convenience. This is not a trust that we pull out when there's no other options after we've extinguished all of those other options. Listen, this is the first go-to thought. And this is where, for us as believers, the question comes to play. When you face the kind of obstacles, maybe not that Elijah has faced, but when you face the medical issues and the uncertainties and the problems in your job and in your families and those mountains that appear before you in life, what's the first go-to? Is it, well, how do I handle this? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? What do I need to put in place? What kind of power do I need to do that? Listen, with Elijah, the instant reaction is absolute trust. You could even call this really a blind trust. He didn't even seem to hesitate. And he was in a place in his spiritual life to be able to see what his servant couldn't see. And sometimes in our lives, God brings us alongside of people who have wisdom and insight for that moment to remind us of what we may not be able to see. And it's not that we're spiritually weak or we're in a struggle, or it's just that we're so distracted. And we're seeing something that looks to be impossible, but God brings those tools and those instruments by our sides to remind us of what maybe we're not focusing on. And so it's important that we understand that Elijah here is coming alongside this servant and helping him to see what Elijah was seeing. And so listen, this blind trust is that ability to just put aside the doubt and the uncertainty and be able to ask God to give you the ability to see what he's doing. It's absolute trust. It's not a halfway trust. And probably times in your life, you've sort of pulled God, and I love this analogy, you've pulled God sort of out of a box and you want him to take care of something, but then once it's done to your liking, you put him back in the box. Or you pull him out and he starts to do what he does and you don't like the way that he's doing it. You think he should take care of things another way, and so you want to sort of put him back in that box. Many of us live our faith journey that way. We want God to operate on the terms that we want him to operate on. And when we begin to see Elijah and all of the story and the anointing and the special calling that God has placed in Elijah, and no doubt Elijah is an exceptional character in the Old Testament, but listen, Elijah's God is the same God you worship. And the power that Elijah experienced is the same power that we have at our beck and call, really, at any time, learning to live underneath that power and sovereignty of God. We have to have that absolute trust when we face obstacles. And listen, this is a great example, but there are all kinds of examples throughout Scripture where we see God putting people in places for them to learn to have that trust. And I believe, as we face the mountains and the obstacles such as Elijah did today and in our passage and in the things that you face in your life, that every time that is happening, we learn more and more how to trust him. Listen, I believe this, that as you face obstacles in your life, even maybe this week or you're facing them right now, listen, God is equipping you, helping you to learn and become stronger so that next week or a month from now or a year from now when you face something, you're stronger and you're more equipped. How is that? Because you've learned to trust him. Listen, I know it's easy to say just have absolute trust. It really takes work to do that. It takes discipline. It takes just working at it and learning to trust God sometimes when it's hard to trust him. And it is a gift. I do believe that God gives his children the ability to trust him, absolutely. But it's sometimes difficult for us to learn to do that. And so maybe you're in a season in life right now to where you are learning to trust him more. And maybe the obstacle you're facing right now is God going to use that to be able to help you to learn to trust him more in particular areas. And before we go on, let me say this. Sometimes it's easy to trust God in certain areas of your life. But other times it's difficult to trust him in other areas. And when we talk about the life of Elijah and other Old Testament characters, and when we talk about the ability to have absolute trust in God, that means we lay down everything. We trust him in everything. Not just in the easy areas, but in those areas that we don't like sometimes to give up control of. And sometimes God brings, I believe, the storms into your life to get you to see his actions, to see his hand of work. Sometimes we might call that discipline. Sometimes we might call that God opening our eyes or God getting our attention. You call it whatever you want. But sometimes God puts you in a place so that you can learn to trust him in all areas, not just in a few of the easy areas. So the first thing, as far as truth to live by, as we learn from this passage, and particularly from Elijah and his servant, is that we have to have absolute trust when we face the obstacles in life. Number two is this. And this, again, we go back to Elijah here. Elijah, when he talks about those that are with him are bigger or more than those that are with them, listen, that goes back to tell us a great truth, and that's number two. We must believe in God's ability. Now listen, the servant didn't see it at first. We know that he eventually does see it. Sometimes when we look at the obstacles in life, we begin to wonder, how does God take care of this? And it may not be that we're doubting God's power and ability, but we just wonder, is he able to do these things? Or does he need, get this, don't miss this, does he maybe need some help? See, that's my problem. It's not that I don't think God can't do it, but I like to assist him. And the problem is, I get in the way of what he wants to do. And so sometimes part of learning to have that trust and learning to face the obstacles and believe that God has the ability is simply step aside and get out of the way of what God is trying to do. Man, I'm convinced in my life there have been times that I've just prolonged the storms of life because I keep getting in the way of what God wants to do. And he loves me so much that he lets me learn that the hard way. Sometimes it'd be easier if he would just move me out of the way. But listen, he never wants to come into places where he's not wanted. That's just his love for you. And so we must get out of the way and allow God to do what it is that he wants to do. And as we think about what Elijah faces here, listen, there's a whole end to this story, where Elijah even gets turned on by his own people and he's sort of segregated from them in struggle after struggle, but he never loses sight that God is in control. And even though sometimes may not go the way we want them, we must remember that God has the ability, he has, listen to this, the plan, the perfect plan, to do what it is that he wants to do. Listen, we've been talking about this over the summer, that God is writing a story with your life. And that story is including you and his perfect will for your life, his perfect purpose. And the things that you face and the struggles that you come in contact with and the people that God puts around you are all not by happenstance. He puts them there for a reason, I believe. And that even includes the difficulties and struggles sometimes you may be facing. Now, some of those are things that maybe we've caused. Sometimes they're just things that happen in life, sicknesses and difficulties and things that are out of our control. But all of those go back to believe and help us to believe that God has the ability to take care of those things. And maybe the thing that you face in your life and the struggle and what seems to be the length of that struggle is because you've not learned to let God do what he wants to do. You've been getting in the way. You've been trying to do it yourself. You've been trying to close God off into a certain area and say, God, you work on that area, and I'm going to do this area. That's not at all how it works. When God has absolute power, listen to this, he wants absolute control of your life. And when we're not doing that and not giving him control, then that's then when we begin to face the prolonged struggles. And listen, in a few hundred years from where we are in this passage, we'll find the nation of Israel, which should have only been about a two-week journey, spending 40 years getting to their promised land simply because of the same kinds of issues that we've just talked about. They're wanting to trust God in certain areas, but not in all areas. And so God, in his way, allowed them to have that season of life to learn how to ultimately trust him. And they do. But then they forget those lessons, and their descendants forget those lessons, much like sometimes happens in our lives. And we find ourselves back in the middle of struggle and in the inability to trust God. As I've said, this is something that, let me be more specific about, sometimes is a lifetime struggle for us to truly learn to trust him. Never let your guard down that, well, I've learned to trust him in all areas. Sure enough, there'll be another area that'll pop up, and you'll realize you're not trusting him. And so we never want to be so arrogant that we believe that we have given everything over to God, because the moment we've done that, then there are other areas that now begin to open up in our lives that we need to make sure that we're giving him control of, having absolute control of those things. So that's the second one, believe in God's ability. We also said the first thing that we must do as far as truth to live by is to have absolute trust in God. That's that blind trust, that end of your rope kind of trust. And then as we move on into this passage, and as we saw really in verse 15 and in the beginning of 16, where we find the prayer where Elijah prays that the servant's eyes would be opened, this teaches us something too, that the number three thing that we must do is that we need to pray for open eyes. We need to pray that God gives us the ability to have open eyes, but also those that are with us on this journey to have open eyes. Praying for them to see maybe the things that you're struggling to see, or maybe the things that you clearly see. But praying for those around you. And listen, this is something that I think is a continual prayer. You understand that? It's something that we don't just pray for one time and it happens. But the moment, it would be interesting to know the rest of this story. When they left the home, did the servant never have another struggle with this? Or did he continue sometimes to slip? Or did Elijah himself, even in the mightiness of his faith, sometimes struggle to see things? We know he did. And so this is something that we need to make sure that we're bathing in prayer constantly, that God gives us the ability to have the open eyes to see that what God is doing is bigger than anything that we face. And sometimes we need to have the ability to see that God is surrounding us. In this particular situation, the army of God surrounding Elijah in that little town of Dothan. And that is that visual reminder that God is far bigger than the armies of the Syrians that were standing on the other side of the city. And so sometimes the open eyes is to be able to see that God is putting the people in place that need to be in place to guide you through this. That God is putting the right things and He's working through the right situations and putting the right circumstance so that you're in the place that you need to be to reap whatever it is that God is going to do. You look back at your life as I look at mine, and there are moments in my life where I wonder, why did God allow that to happen? Now that I look back on it, I know exactly why He did. Because if that had not happened then I wouldn't have been in a place to see this right here. And then if I'm not seeing this, then I wouldn't have understood that down the road, you see. And so that's all part of God's story that He's writing. I mean, he doesn't have to tear up pages and start over. It's a continual story, and no matter what mistakes or issues you have in your life or sin that's crept up or mistakes that you've decided to go your own track, listen, that story is still being written, and God in His great glory always finishes those stories. If you'll let Him the way He wants to finish them. There's never a point where we mess that up so badly that God can't bring us back to where He wants us to be. And that's part of the open eyes. You may be facing something right now to where you're seeing this, but you're not seeing the full picture. And it's frustrating. I mean, it has to be. I face the same thing. It's sometimes frustrating to not have the ability to see all of it, but that's where we begin to pray that God would open our eyes, and then we look expectantly for God to begin to show us. But listen, this is not a passive prayer. This is a prayer based on action. God, open my eyes, but then you have to start looking for where you can see God at work and the things that He's doing. I mean, it is. It's an action on your part. And certainly, God can help you to begin to see the beginning parts, but as you begin to look and start expectantly looking for how God may be surrounding you with His power and His tools and His instruments, then we have to have the ability to see those. Because here's what sometimes happens. That happens, and we do begin to see the things that God is doing, but then we start letting Satan explain those things away. Well, that wasn't God. That was just a coincidence. That wasn't God doing that. That was a doctor that went to school for 10 years to do that. That wasn't God. That was a medical cure that has been worked on for years. And if we allow ourselves, we can try to logically explain away the handiwork of God. And so part of the having the open eyes is making the decision to say, God may be using something else, but we see God in the midst of that. And we choose to see God in His handiwork. And that's the fourth point this morning. And the final one is if we're going to have absolute trust, we're going to believe in God's ability, we're going to pray for open eyes, then number four, as we've already kind of segued into, we need to look for His handiwork. And sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it appears in a different way. But sure enough, we see God working in that situation. And sometimes His handiwork is difficult. It's not easy. Now, in this particular passage, it doesn't seem that Elijah had to do much here. He just had to trust, and he saw what he saw, and his servant saw it, and God got the victory that day. But listen, sometimes in our lives, it takes a little bit longer, perhaps. Sometimes in our lives, the handiwork shows up in a real small way. And then as we begin to see that and focus on that, then God begins to open up the horizon for us to see. So God does work. We know that. We have to have the open eyes to see that, but we also have to make the decision to see the handiwork and to recognize God in the midst of that. As I wrote this, I put this down, and I think this is a great reminder. Two things here. One is we got to have patience when looking for God's handiwork. It's there, okay? It may not show up on your time frame, but His handiwork is there. And we have to be able to identify it and have the eyes to see that. And I would say, going back to what we learn in this passage, having the faith and the absolute trust to see what God is doing, to recognize His handiwork. And then the second thing that I wrote down in addition to patience is we need to always pay attention. And we really do. Sometimes God does show up in a burning bush as He did to Moses. Sometimes He shows up in a vast godly army surrounding someone like Elijah. But at other times He may show up in something much, much more subtle, as we've said. Something small. So we've got to pay attention. We've got to look at what's going on and keep focused on that and not waver in believing that God has already shown up. It just may not be evident to us yet. We're like the servant. We're not seeing it quite yet. But through the persistence of prayer and the willingness to draw near to God and the willingness to start opening our eyes and see, then boom, like that, we'll begin to see God's handiwork. But we've got to be persistent and pay attention. And this is where I go back. You know what? This is not a spiritual gift to have trust. It's not. It's something that we learn through the wisdom of our faith and the maturing of our faith. It's something that as we've been with the Lord longer, it's probably easier than it was in the beginning of our lives. But it never gets completely easy. We never resolve all of the issues and difficulties of having the kind of trust that we see Elijah having in this passage today. It's something that we wake up tomorrow morning and we pray, God, give me the ability to trust You. Give me the ability to see Your handiwork. Give me the ability, Father, to have the eyes to see how You're going to use me. Because just as much as we may be looking, listen to this, of God's tools and instruments coming alongside of us, God at the same time may be placing you as a tool and an instrument for someone else's struggle and their ability to see. And so that's where God at the same time may bring us along and allow us to help someone else while others are helping us to have the trust that we see here. And as I said in my opening prayer, this is really a trust God expects us to have. He's given us the ability to have it, but again, it's a struggle for us, but it's something every single day that we're learning more and more to trust Him with. And let me say this as we close. And there's a lot of truth in this, I believe. I was taught this early on in my journey with the Lord, and that is, if we're unable to trust Him with the small things, then we're going to have a difficult time to trust Him with the big things. And sometimes believers, unfortunately, say, well, you know what? I've got the small things. I'll just give God the big things. But you understand, the small things are the mechanism where we learn how to trust Him with those big things. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You, God, for the blessing of it and what You used Elijah some 4,000 plus years ago to teach us even today. And I know there are people in a congregation like this that are going through struggles and uncertainties and they're facing a mountain in front of them. And it's one that they look at and it looks impossible. It may not be a foreign army coming toward them, but it may be a financial issue. It may be a decision about someone's health that needs to be made. It may be an issue with a relationship or an uncertainty in a job situation. I mean, in our modern times, these mountains come in so many different ways. But the effect of that never changes. And the truth of what we find in this passage never changes. It's the same today as it was in the day of Elijah. That you're bigger than anything that we may face. And God, it's easy to claim that when we're gathered together in a time of worship like this and learning and fellowship. But where it really is difficult is tomorrow when we get in our car and we come back to reality and the struggle of what's facing us tomorrow or next week. That's when it really becomes a struggle. So Father, as we said in the beginning for believers this morning, I pray that you would just coat their heart with a peace right now. And an ability, God, to just have absolute trust in you. And as we've said, even in the small things, just giving those things over. And I pray that as they go through their day today, that you would bring things up into their mind through the work of your Holy Spirit of things that they're possibly struggling with that they've not given over to you. And no matter how big or small they are, my prayer for them, Father, is that they would surrender those things to you. That just like Elijah, they would claim victory even before they could comprehend how that victory would happen. And that they would choose to see you and your handiwork, Father. And Lord, I pray that there may be some in here who have a friend or a loved one that's in that situation right now. And maybe this morning all of this was brought to them so that they can come alongside of them and realize that they're being sent by God to be used as an encourager, to be used like Elijah in this passage to help the unsuspecting servant have the eyes to see. And he was able to do that because he knew the truth. God, I pray if that's what you're up to in our lives, then you give us clarity in that. Give us the opportunity this week to intersect with those people and to speak this truth into their life. Maybe even take them to this passage and read this passage to them. And then pray specifically for their eyes to be open. And then, Father, as we began with maybe a lost person here this morning, and really the mountain in their life is the fact that God loves them. And no matter what sin they have in their life, no matter what they've done in their past, God has promised to forgive that. And the mountain they have to overcome is allowing God to give them that gift through what Jesus did on the cross. And accept that forgiveness and make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And then through the power of God to forgive themselves for their past. And the issues and the mistakes and the problems that they've created for themselves and maybe even others. Father, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of commitment. And any of those who want to come and make that decision to accept Christ this morning, Lord, we pray for that. There are people here who we can put them with that are not in a hurry, but would love just to share with them how they can know who Jesus is and know more about how Jesus can help us to overcome that mountain of God's love and forgiveness and the struggle of surrendering and accepting what Jesus did on the cross. But Father, I also pray for the believer, and we open the altar this morning as we always do, to come and just kneel before you and pray about whatever that mountain may be. It may not just be in our life, but in someone else's life that we can see and understand, and now we're being sent to be like Elijah in some sense in their struggle. God, whatever it is this day that you're doing in our hearts, we give this time to you as we respond to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?